Congressman John Lewis is being remembered at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta today. He died earlier this month after more than 30 years in Congress, and before that was a giant in the civil rights movement. In a moment, we're going to hear some extended clips from today's funeral. But first, for a look at his legacy, we're joined by Peniel Joseph, director of the Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the University of Texas, Austin. Professor, you write that as a young activist, John Lewis navigated between two groups, those seeking dramatic change and others seeking change through the Democratic Party. How did he walk that line?
Well, you know, John is somebody who had so much integrity. So even when people disagreed with him, they knew that he had personal sincerity. And really, as chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, he did walk that line between those who wanted a political revolution and then those who were more interested in incremental change through policy, legislation, legal decisions. And I think you could see in his embrace of the Black Lives Matter movement, even though he himself was somebody who I would consider this nonviolent, militant pragmatist, he understood the concerns of revolutionaries, and he was willing to embrace those revolutionaries, even if he disagreed with their tactics. So I think that as an older generation, he was 80 years old when he passed, instead of castigating BLM activists, he said, look, you women and men are working in the tradition of Dr. King and the beloved community. And all he stressed was that nonviolent civil disobedience was the best tactic to bring about the new world that they wanted.
Well, and in fact, his own words are printed in the New York Times today, words that he wrote before he died and asked to be published on the day of his funeral. He said that he recently visited the Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington right before he was admitted to the hospital. And he says, quote, I just had to see and feel it for myself that after many years of silent witness, the truth is still marching on.
Yeah, and I think that he's a perfect example of the fluidity between these movements, because when BLM first happened in 2013, many critics were saying this is not what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement would have done, when in fact it was exactly what they had done. And I think we are understanding much more better there is a river. There's a river of activism that flows from the civil rights movement in the 1960s and John Lewis all the way to the BLM movement in 2020. And it's remarkable that Congressman Lewis got to see the arc of that river of activism.
What do you think of the fact that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, is not at the funeral today, but other former presidents are? In fact, the eulogy is coming from President Obama.
Well, I think it's disappointing, but I think it definitely showcases where we're at in 2020 with these real political divisions that center around race. The consensus that had been created in part through John Lewis's activism that American presidents made the concerted rhetorical effort, whether we're thinking about Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, both Bushes and Clinton and Obama, that racial justice was central to American democracy. We see that by 2017, that consensus has really been riven. And part of the debates that we're having, the conflicts, the demonstrations are really based upon wanting to build a new consensus about what does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a citizen? What does democracy and freedom and dignity actually mean? And certainly we all know that Congressman Lewis, who is considered the conscience of the Congress, really reflects that beloved community. And he paid for it with the scars on his skull and his head and around his body. He was beaten not only at the Edmund Pettus Bridge on March 7th, 1965, he was beaten viciously in May of 1961 as well as a freedom rider. So he is emblematic of what we call the beloved community. And I think that this op-ed that he wrote shows that he believed that 2020 was offering all of us this generational opportunity for change, to end systemic racism, to defeat white supremacy, and to finally achieve our country.
That is Peniel Joseph, director of the Center for the Study of Race and Democracy at the University of Texas, Austin. His book is called The Sword and the Shield, The Revolutionary Lives of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jeremy.
Bells tolled at the start of Congressman John Lewis's funeral today at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. We're going to listen back now to some extended clips from the service, starting with former President George W. Bush, who spoke about the lesson that Congressman Lewis leaves behind.
His lesson for us is that we must all keep ourselves open to the hearing, open to hearing the call of love, the call of service, and the call to sacrifice for others. Listen, John and I had our disagreements, of course. But in the America John Lewis fought for, and the America I believe in, differences of opinion are inevitable elements and evidence of democracy in action. We, the people, including congressmen and presidents, can have differing views on how to perfect our union while sharing the conviction that our nation, however flawed, is at heart a good and noble one. We live in a better and nobler country today because of John Lewis and his abiding faith in the power of God, in the power of democracy, and in the power of love to lift us all to a higher ground. The story that began in Troy isn't ending here today, nor is the work. John Lewis lives forever in his father's house, and he will live forever in the hearts of Americans who act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with their God. May the flights of angels see John Lewis to his rest, and may God bless the country he loved.
Former President Barack Obama delivered the eulogy today. He said Congressman Lewis knew the march wasn't over.
He knew from his own life that progress is fragile, that we have to be vigilant against the darker currents of this country's history, of our own history, with their whirlpools of violence and hatred and despair that can always rise again. Bull Connor may be gone, but today we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. George Wallace may be gone, but we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators. We may no longer have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick. Now, I know this is a celebration of John's life. There are some who might say we shouldn't dwell on such things. But that's why I'm talking about it. John Lewis devoted his time on this earth fighting the very attacks on democracy and what's best in America that we're seeing circulate right now. He knew that every single one of us has a God-given power, and that the fate of this democracy depends on how we use it, that democracy isn't automatic. It has to be nurtured. It has to be tended to. We have to work at it. It's hard. And so he knew that it depends on whether we summon a measure, just a measure of John's moral courage to question what's right and what's wrong and call things as they are. He said that as long as he had a breath in his body, he would do everything he could to preserve this democracy. And as long as we have breath in our bodies, we have to continue his cause.
President Barack Obama speaking today at the funeral of Congressman John Lewis.